And we'll all stand if you're able in 2 Timothy chapter 6, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 6. And I want to preach a message tonight on finishing your course. Can everybody say finish? Finish. You ever get your kids together and like, hey, finish your plate. Finish. Finish. I'd like to see Marco. How old are you, Marco? 20. I'd like to see you when you're 65, just serving God. Just finish. Keep going. Now, here's the sad thing is, and I know we're not sea turtles, but the sea turtle National Geographic or whatever I watch, it was sort of heart-wrenching to see how few of those little sea turtles finish. You say, what do you mean finish? They live. You say, why? The seagulls get them. The crabs get them. Okay? And most people don't finish. Okay? And listen, you say, well, if I can just get out of my teen years, become a single, and then I won't have any more temptations. Well, if I can just get married, then it'll be, oh, you're kidding. Well, we just have our first child, and then just everything will settle down. No, then the fight is on. Who's gonna, at 3 o'clock in the morning, who's gonna feed that baby? Okay? Well, if I can just, my little ones, they cry all the time. If they can just become teenagers, it'll be okay. Yeah. Get the last one out of the house, it'll be okay. Do you know the second biggest window of time for divorce is when your last child leaves your home. And I'm not going to go into that. I've actually talked about that. You say, why? You look at your wife, you go, who are you? Because our whole life was surrounded around our kids and what we did with the kids and, you know, fine arts and ball games and everything. And you don't, that's why you need to do things together as a couple. Finishing. Look at 2 Timothy, and we read this morning, but we'll take a little bit more time. Verse 6. By the way, not everybody that was with Paul finished. Demas didn't finish. A bunch of people in Asia didn't finish. Paul mentioned specific people that didn't finish. Not everybody finishes. Not everybody finished with Paul. Let's decide to finish for God. And realize it's going to take God and some spiritual effort. For verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. And that's like a certain type of offering to God. In the time of my departure is at hand. He's going to die. I have fought a good fight. By the way, he's not talking about fist fight. He's talking about fighting the flesh. Fighting the world, fighting the devil, fighting your wife. No, not fighting your wife. Fought a good fight. It was a fight. By the way, Paul encouraged Timothy, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 maybe, or somewhere 1 Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's not a simple thing. It's hard. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. By the way, that course is like, this is sort of referring to a marathon run. You know, what was a marathon? 26 miles? Is that right? 26 miles. Anybody ever hear, anybody ever hear run a marathon? Did you really, Ezekiel? Did you run all 26 miles? Are you serious? Wow. Did you run that in your car? Good for you. 26 miles. That's good. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Not everybody keeps the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We talked about that this morning. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We preached about that this morning. Loving the appearing of God. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Demas didn't finish. You see, you got Paul finished. Demas didn't finish. Demas, it looks like, there's not a lot said about Demas. It looks like he was the inner court. Demas was a brother Kyle. Demas was a brother Ross. By the way, did you notice when brother, who was up here? Brother Myers asked brother Ross something. He didn't even know what he asked him. We on the staff, on the platform, we do the same thing that you do during announcements. We don't listen. He asked him a question, and Brother Ross started pointing. Yeah, down right there. There was nothing down there. But anyway. You were. You were praying for him. We all do that. We all pray for everybody on the platform. I won't say anything. Anyway, Demas was a core guy. He was one of the core guys. He didn't finish. He said, do thy diligence to come unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I'm not even going to talk much about that, but if you want to finish, you can't love the world. And let me say this, the world is appetizing. And now with the internet and technology, it's like, man, they sure spice it up. The world is super. I was in my college class. I said, you know, it'd be great. I said, if I had my way, but we're not doing my way, we're doing God's way. I'd get all of us, and we'd all move to North Dakota. And we'd put up this big wall around North Dakota, and we'd have our own little city there. And I said, we'd have our own coffee shop. And it'd be Starbucks, but it'd be Christbucks, you know. And we'd have our own boba shop. And we'd have our own pho for Christ. And we'd have our own Korean barbecue. And I said, man, we'd have everything. And I said, then, you know, we'd be our, you know, our own little cult, I guess. You know, we'd be out there. And I said, then we'd get out there and tell a bunch of people about Jesus and come back to the protection from the world. Man, that world is so appetizing out there. It's so enticing. It just is. But for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Father, help us in the time that we have. We've had Lord's Supper, and we don't have a whole lot of time, but help us to finish our course. Each of us have a course to run. These young people, so precious here tonight. Babies in the nursery, teenagers, single adults. They all have a course to run, Lord. Help us to help each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Christian life is fragile. The older I get, the longer I pastor, you ever see these boxes? Fragile. Fragile. Don't drop it. Don't shake. Don't drop. The Christian life is fragile. Here's a marriage sailing through life. I got an email about 2 weeks ago. Wonderful couple, Christian couple. They were sailing through life. They're gone. Their life is so messed up now. Sailing through the Christian life. And they were doing fine. Their marriage was doing fine. Their children were doing fine, but something came up. And to be quite frank with you, they didn't deal with it properly. Started shaking up their marriage some. Started shaking up. By the way, when your marriage gets shaken up, your kids get shaken up. Say, Pastor, what happened to you and your brother and your family? Five kids, we all went to the devil. My parents' marriage. We were sort of like the Brady Bunch for a while. Really? You know, Brady, they had six kids. We're just a good old American family. And then mom and dad's marriage got real rough. Life is fragile. To finish, if you're going to finish for God, you're going to finish on purpose. Life is fragile. This is why parents, and by the way, parents, one reason I say a lot of what I say about parents, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to reinforce what I believe you ought to already believe. And there's nothing wrong with going home and say, did you hear what the pastor said? Did you hear what the pastor said? I am the pastor. I'm no better than anybody else, but I get to be up here every week and preach the Word of God. It's fragile. This is why we have to be careful with our children. One night on that internet, unsupervised, can pollute your children. By the way, I wish all of our children were strong enough to be with some other young person that's not strong. But the fact of the matter is, most children aren't. I've watched teenagers, I've watched single adults for that matter, I've watched married couples get polluted. They get with the wrong people and they pollute the children. They pollute little children. By the way, many of my pastor friends, and this is nothing I know is original. I learn from the Bible and I learn from others. I wish I knew something. I don't know anything original. Anything I knew original is hokey. And by the way, hokey's not original. I got that from somebody. That's from Mark Kaler. He's in heaven. I remember he'd say hokey. I got that one from him. But years ago, you got a cell phone? Can I see your cell phone? Years ago, by the way, Cindy Prind gave me my cell phone. You haven't given me a phone in a long time. I'm sure. He's got the basketball game on. It's live. Shame on you, Brother Ross. By the way, all you Laker fans are getting smoked. 52-34. You know what he was doing up here when he was supposed to be listening to Brother Myers? He was checking the basketball score. 52-34. Yeah. There went your raise. Yeah, I know it's automatic. Okay. You're fired, Brother Ross. But years ago when the cell phones first came out, we said, listen, moms and dads, your teenagers don't need a cell phone. By the way, I got the look. I got the look. Okay? So, well, what's going to happen if there's an emergency? The same thing is going to happen when there was an emergency before we had cell phones. They're going to run over to a neighbor's house, and they're going to ask them for their phone. Or they're going to go to a pay phone. Or nowadays, everybody has a cell phone. Okay? Now, you know what's happening now? All my they didn't follow me. They just, I don't know, maybe I was just brought up under certain leaders and been influenced by certain people that we see a path. Now, all my friends, it was no big deal. Now, they're all saying, your teenagers don't need cell phones. Dating. Man, I used to be like, they wouldn't say it, but I was like the doofus of the pastors. Because I'd say, our teenagers, you say, you said teenagers don't date. There's teenagers that date, but we don't encourage it. And we don't fan it. Okay? We don't think it's a good idea. We teach against it. It's not a sin for a teenager to date. My personal preference, it's not a conviction because I can't see in the Bible. My preference is it's dangerous. The younger they date, the more of a possibility they lose their Now, man, I was with Brother Goddard, man, he made me feel good. He said, yeah, I don't encourage my guys to date until their junior year in college. I'm like, wow, good for him. Thank you. Turn it off. They're going to lose anyway. You need a specific place or goal to be heading to finish your course. One reason we don't finish is because we're not going anywhere. And when you're not going anywhere, you're easily distracted. Somebody can grab your attention. Something will grab your attention to get you off the course you weren't even on. The course is the ground to get you. Paul said, I've finished my course. Really, that wasn't the goal, but the course is the ground to get you where you are going, but you first need to know where you are going. Look, in this day and age, we've got to know where we're going. We've got, or Brother Joseph Ledwich sent me this email about how it used to be. The kids used to be able to go outside. And remember that? Remember we can go and play until sundown. Nothing happened. Everything was okay. And all these, it was like, I was going to read it, but I decided not to read it just because it was too much going on tonight. But nowadays, listen, man, I get emails from people in our church. Pastor, you have a child predator in your neighborhood. I'm like, phew. I get people in our church, they say, we have child molester attends our church. You say, what do? We get all of our police officers and let them know who they are, okay? And what are you looking at me like that for? Okay, we got them on check, okay? But that's the day we live in. But you have to know where you're going. A golf course is finish the 9 or 18 holes is your goal. The course is getting there. Some never finish the goal. These guys, they get so mad, they throw their golf club, and they never finish. A race course is really, it's not, the goal is not the course. The course is getting to the goal. We all need a goal to get where we're going, and the course will get us there. How about a family goal and a family course? Do you have specific goals for your family? By the way, if you don't lead your family, and I always encourage the fathers because God does, somebody will. Somebody is going to lead your family. Now online, you get a guy like a Chanty. Now let's say Chanty, or let's get we'll go here. Marcos. Marcos is 20 years old. Let's say he has no purpose. Do you realize what's happening all over the world? Guy with no purpose, he's going online, and all of a sudden, these radical websites, they're getting on these radical websites, and these radical Muslim websites are getting 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 23-year-olds, and literally, and you say, oh, Pastor, I don't think anyone would do that crazy. Look at these guys in Boston. Look what they just did. Now, maybe our kids wouldn't, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, a young person, you say, what do they want? They want to do something that's going to make a difference. The Muslims are saying, we're going to take over the world. That's attractive. Marriage, family course, a marriage course. By the way, again, dads, moms, lead your children. Don't just throw them over to the TV and or say, listen, you know, play, what's that ducky bird game? Huh? Angry Birds. I'm sure there's nothing sinful about Angry Birds. I probably have played it. I don't know. You say, Pastor, you know, listen, I'm old-fashioned. I play Pac-Man. Yeah. That's the only thing I know how to play. My son Nathaniel, if I let him, on my phone, I got a new phone. Kelly Prin gave me a new phone, and it's probably got games on it because my son Nathaniel said, "Hey, can I use your phone?" I'm like, "You know, you don't have any girlfriends yet," and it says, "Hey, let me. I want to play a game." But my son went soul winning with Eldridge Flores. And my son just, you know, I guess when you talk to teenagers, you say, play any new games? Maybe you're the one leading them all astray. And I like what Eldridge said. He said, I don't play games anymore. I'm like, man, good for him. Yeah, I don't know if he's telling the truth, but good for him that he just said it. You know what he said? He said, I read books. You know what he said? He said, I read Let's Weigh the Evidence. The kid's only seventh grade. You say, what's that? It's about the King James Bible. And he began to explain to Joseph about the Textus Receptus and all the different versions and everything. I'm like, man, good for him. I'll let him teach on a Thursday night sometime. How about our family? A goal and then we get on the right course to finish our marriage. By the way, dads, I know this is not popular. Train your daughters to be future wives. You say, why do they want to do everything else? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a culture where that's like, well, that's secondary. According to the Bible, being a wife is the primary goal of every girl. Helping her husband, by the way, guys, you might want to say amen on this, helping her husband to fulfill the purpose that God has for him. Wow. Those Pac-Man preachers are ancient. The Bible is pretty ancient, but it's a good book. It's God's book. Teach your daughters. You say, what do you teach your daughters? Teach your daughters to cook and teach your daughters to mothers, teach your daughters, push your daughters to your husband. Teach your daughters to serve your husband, because one of these days they should be, wow, serving? You mean really? Yeah, the Bible says that Eve was created to be Adam's helpmate. Thank you, Ryan. All the other guys are just very wimpy tonight. By the way, ladies, you know how you're going to be fulfilled? You're going to be fulfilled fulfilling the dreams that God gives your future husband. That's how you're going to be fulfilled. And when I'm saying it behind the pulpit, it seems so different, so weird. Now, around here, it doesn't really, but if you're newer in our church, okay, and maybe you didn't grow up, you didn't grow up in a good church, but that's about, you know, how about our marriage course? Train your daughters. You say, well, Pastor, we're living a totally different society. I know we do, but we're still God's people. We didn't read all the testimonies tonight, but one of the testimonies of the ladies, from the ladies' conference, I didn't listen to any of the messages. One of the ladies said, you know, I'm going to go home and be a better wife and be a better mother. Man, that's what it's. How about a ministry course? In order to finish, we got to find out where we're going. What's the goal to get on that course? Paul said, I finished my course. How about a ministry course? Has God gifted you in areas that he wants you to focus on for him? Take your talents and use them for God. And so we need to first have a, how are we going to finish? Look, if you're not going anywhere, how are you going to finish? You can't finish. There's nowhere to go. There's no finish line. And so you need to have a goal. And then number two, seek the Lord. Let me sort of bring this a little bit home here. Seek the Lord in how you might fit in God's course and God's vision at Pacific Baptist Church to help you finish. Please get this. I talk to young people sometimes, talk to adults, and I'll say this. Please understand this. You are here at Pacific Baptist Church by design and God's providence and God's sovereignty. So am I. This is not accident. So some have say, well, no, my cousin invited me, or my wife invited me, or my husband invited me. God's in God, and I don't understand God's sovereignty and God's providence, but in the year 2013, on April 28th, while the Lakers are losing on Brother Ross's phone, you are here by God's providence. And I'm here. By the way, God, please get this. God has given us, you know, the radical Muslims, and it's crazy how they're attracted. By the way, they attract young men. They attract young men. That's one reason they're trying to, and they're somewhat successfully making progress in this world. No God, no Bible. You say, what do they have? They have a dream. And their dream and their vision is to take over the world. But let me say this. God has given Pacific Baptist a big vision. Please, we're just getting started. You say, oh, Pastor, is it your dream? It's not my dream. I'm serious. I say it every once in a while. I am serious. My dream is this. Brother Vong just came back from Alaska. You know what I like to pastor? Alaska. Hunting, fishing. I heard they give you like $2,000 for every child you have a year or something. Is that right? Is that two or one? 2,000. Man, I'd be a rich man. Brother Kyle and I go over there, we go start a church. Brother, we wouldn't even have to have tithes and offerings. We'd say, listen, just give to missions. You don't need a tithe. Hunting and fishing, Brother Vaughn came back and brought some salmon. Now, my guess, did he fish? He must have. He didn't fish? He didn't. He just brought the salmon back. Okay, wow. Usually go over there. There's one guy, when they were here, the pastor that came here to help us on the building, he said, listen, if you want to come, he said, you come, I'll get you a couple churches to preach at. He said, I'll get you a place to stay. He said, we'll hunt, we'll fish, and we'll give you a love offering. That's my kind of pastoring right there. Man, speak to me. You know, I like to start a church in the Sierra Nevadas. Over there by Mammoth, over by Bishop, all the rivers, the big lakes. I heard they're now stocking like 4 and 5 pound trout in some of those lakes. That's my vision. Or my vision and dream is to slow down, get in a new building, let's take it easy, let's all get old together, let's get some rocking chairs out there on that patio, and let's all get a little coffee shop out there, and let's take it easy. That's my dream. That's not God's dream. You know, God's vision is we have a lost and dying world out there. Let's get the gospel out. We've got a world that is sucking up our families and sucking up our children, deceiving our families. Let's have holy and right and godly families so that we can make a difference in this world. That's God's dream for our church. God has given us a great vision. The new building will be a tool. It is a tool to help us to fulfill that vision. By the way, he's given us a true Great Commission vision, the uttermost parts of the earth goal. Man, I talked to Jay Chang on Saturday. Him and I, we were driving to go, actually, we were going to go visit Larry Robertson in the hospital. And, brother, I'm ready to go to Thailand. He said, preacher, we got this church and we got this church. And he said, some German guy started a church and he left 50 people. And he said, you want this church? And he said, up in Burma, he said, right on the Burmese border, he said, there's a bunch of people that need a pastor. And he said, preacher, I'm 5 hours drive to China. And he said, if we were able to have the teachers in a Bible college, for a Bible college, he said, we'd have over 100 Bible college students just like that. There's nothing up there. There's a bunch of Christians. They really do love God. They're doctrinally disoriented. And you say, Pastor, what are you saying? We get to be a part of that. By the way, if you're some single guy and say, man, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm just bummed out. Why don't you just sign up tonight and say, listen, Jay, if you feed me, you give me a place to stay, I'll go out there for a year. You know what he needs? He needs someone to watch, just be in a dorm with the guys. Brother Board, I got his email today. And I don't know if you got it. He's got a little map with all these arrows. He's like, we got a church here. We got a church here. We got a group of people saved here and saved here. They're like 6 places are going to have a churches. By the way, I really believe that Cambodia can be like Korea and the Philippines in about 20 years. And God's using the vision that he gave Pacific Baptist to get it going. One of the hardest days of my life was when our president got his vote for the second term. It was rough for me. And by the way, I had a lady one time say, Pastor, I just did something. It was election day. I just did something I think I shouldn't have done. She voted for the wrong person. If you voted for the wrong person, God bless you. God loves you. And if you're a Christian, maybe you just didn't understand that we pray for our president, but he believes in killing babies. That's just the start, but we won't go into that. That next week, Pastor Chapel, someone forwarded to me about what churches can do to get ready for the next election, and what can we do to you say, well, Pastor, I thought we just needed God's house and not the White House. I know, but the White House can make it a little easier for God's house. There may be a day where some of the things that are in this book, if we truly preach it and teach it, they're going to come in and fine us and throw us in jail, and you're going to be in the workplace, and they're going to call it hate speech, and you're going to get thrown in jail, and we're going to have to call David Gibbs to come and get you out of jail for hate speech. That's where we're headed. It would be nice if we had a little bit of government support and not the government and the president and a bunch of people in the White House against this book. But Brother Chappell said this. He said, look, he said, one of the things that we need to do is, he said, we need to start churches in the city. And he said, we need to reach the ethnic people. Because the liberals are going in. You say, who are the liberals? A lot of the liberals are people that have an anti-God mindset. They're going into the cities and they're talking and they're communicating to the ethnic people and they're saying, oh, you know, those people over there are bad and those people over there, they don't care. And no, that's not true. He said, we need more churches in the city. We need more churches to reach the ethnic people and to reach, do you know the Asian people? I was sort of surprised. The Asian people voted more for President Obama than they voted for whoever our president, who was it? It was Romney. It was either the baby killer or the Mormon. The part of the vision that God's given us here in Pacific Baptist is to go in cities and start churches. We're looking for a new church building for Monterey Park, and Bruce and I were in Monterey Park on Friday. Was it Friday? Friday. We went in some schools. There are two schools we went into. I thought I was in Shanghai, China. I thought I was in Beijing, China. We got there right as they were letting out. All the moms, it's all Chinese. All the little children, all Chinese. I'm like, you know what? We really need a big gospel influence to reach the Chinese in the San Gabriel Valley. That's a part of the vision. Northwest Orange County, our Jerusalem. God has given us a great vision in our Jerusalem. By the way, I'm always dreaming and thinking, and when I get my mind clear, I was writing out how we can have our first pastors and workers conference in our new building. It's going to be good. By the way, Brother Goddard said, I said, you need to have a pastors conference. He said, no, you need to have it over here. He said, I'll help you. All right, come on over. I figured, Brother Ray, we can have like 5 to 6 conferences in one. We'll have a little Filipino pastors conference, a little Spanish pastors conference, and then we can have an international pastors conference, have Brother Board and have my brother come and preach, and then we can have all these different, and you say, what are we doing? We're trying to use the Jerusalem to fulfill God's vision. Godly family vision here at Pacific Baptist. I was thinking about, I asked, who are the lady speakers at the ladies' conference? So they're outside speakers, and a lot of them were their own people. I said, I think Maggie Torres could probably get up and teach the ladies. Yeah. We have our own ladies' conference. We get some outside speakers and have some of the ladies here that have gone through trials and love God and embrace God. Maggie, I don't know where she is. She's probably scared to death right now. And what we'll do, we'll have Maggie drive up her Volkswagen van right out there. And we'll say the guest speaker has arrived. But it takes a fight to fulfill your goal and to finish your course. That's what Paul said in verse 7. This is where most people, they don't finish. I have a series of sermons by David Barton. Anyone ever heard of David Barton? David Barton has a lot of good material on the history of our country, and he's back and forth to Washington D.C. and he's very, very good. But he was talking about the what it's going to take if we're going to salvage our country, and one of the things he said is we've got to be willing to fight. He said, we're too passive. He went on to say, he talked about Finney and Whitfield. He said, these guys went through so much turmoil. It was so difficult. We think that they just showed up and they preached and everybody cried and fell on their faces and got saved. No, I think it was Whitfield. He carried his pulpit. He carried a mobile pulpit on his horse when he traveled to preach. And he'd show up and he said the biggest opposition that he had were the Christians. The Christians were the ones that as he preached the truth, it made him uncomfortable. The lost people got saved, but the Christians, it was a fight. If you win the course with your children, it's going to take a fight. It's going to take a fight. I had a dad come to me once. He said, Pastor, his face was all scratched up. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, man, what happened? He said, I found some junk on my teenage daughter's phone. And he said, I came home, and somehow he got the phone, and I don't know if he left it there. And he said, give me the phone. She said, nope. By the way, those phones are addicting. They're addicting to me. I leave my house without my phone. I start twitching. Well, these teenagers, they don't just use it for a phone. They use it for a life. Man, they're with everybody. Our kids, they know people all over the world. They're texting people. They got all these little things. And I said, what happened? He said, she wouldn't give it to me. He said, I went to get it. I said, you got to give it to me. She said, no. He said, we literally got into a wrestling match. He said, I won, but I have the scars to see what happened, show you what happened. I said, oh, my soul. My brother tells a story, the same thing. Parents found out that a bunch of junk was on the phone. They went and she wouldn't give it up. I'm not saying fight your kids. You might want to fight so they don't get a cell phone. By the way, I'm not a very good Christian. You say, Pastor, you don't trust your children. I don't trust myself. I like what Brother Treber says. He says, I never watch a television. He said, I never watch TV when I'm in a hotel. Never. He says, I put pictures of my family all around. And he said, I won't watch it. He said, there's one evangelist. He says, when he goes to a hotel, he tells the lady at the front desk, take the TV out. I won't stay here. Fight. My 20 year, how old are you, Sue? 20? She doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't have, the only reason I let my, you say, you don't trust them? Nope. I'll let their husband take care of them if they need a cell phone. One of these days when they get married. So if they don't get married until they're 40, they probably won't have a cell phone until they're 40. Now, Sarah has a cell phone because she works for me. But we can check the cell phones anytime we want. Daniel, 17, no cell phone. Joanna, she, how old are you? 15? 15, and she thinks she's 30. No cell phone. Oh, but Pastor, I trust my little Peabody. If you were in my office and knew what our members' children have put on their cell phones, you wouldn't let them have a cell phone. He said, well, Pastor, my children are strong Christians. I hate to say it, our children aren't as strong as Christians as we think they are. I want them to be. We're trying to help them to be, but it's a mess out there. We got to fight. Takes a little bit of a fight. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed.